Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
When you hear that hard rocking, you know Lebo has come a-knocking. And we have Todd Lebo in studio right now. I do want to say that Susan came in here and said, "What is Nate wearing?" And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Connie texted me and said, what is Nate wearing?" So Connie was watching.
He's got his Susan. America t-shirt on.
It's a tuxedo t-shirt
that's got a name or something, or no?
Connie don't know what the hell he's wearing, so she was asking Susan, who's asking me.
It's a cheaper way to put
Weren't
a bow
tie. Weren't you watching the show while you were doing the show
on.
With us?
No.
He's got his America, Stars and Stripes. It looks like a suit coat and a bow tie, but let me give you a hint. It's just a t-shirt.
It's a laser-like focus here. I just have my equipment right in front of me, as I always do, and my computer, my desktop, and I'm locked in. It's actually I'm much more it's easier to pay attention here doing the show, except when the girls come in and make accusations to each other and scream about going to school. That's one thing. But let me tell you this right now, Todd Lebo's in here. And we will later on. Okay, you know what? I'll give you 15 seconds to plug what you're doing later, and we get back to football. What are you doing?
What am I doing later?
No. What's Nate Bucati doing later?
What are you doing? Go.
Say it.
I'm going down to the Power and Light District for the watch party for the United States versus Wales in their first World Cup match in 8 years for the United States.
All right.
So I'm wearing an American flag tuxedo t-shirt right now.
And our weather's okay-ish for that?
Yeah, it's going to be in the 50s today.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Can I plug what I'm doing later?
What?
I'm hosting the program for Seren Petro.
Right, you are.
Is he taking the day off for the World Cup? Is that what he's doing?
I don't think that's why it is.
Okay.
But I know he's going to watch it. I think it is actually maybe. He's got a friend in town. Something's going down. I don't know. He said, can you do the show? I said, absolutely.
Okay, will you do this for me?
Day after the Chiefs and Chargers? Seems easy. Sign me up.
At 5 p.m.,
yes.
Will you wrestle Curtis Siebold?
Whether he wants to or not, yes. I'm coming
across. Greco-Roman wrestling.
I'm coming across the console to get him.
Yeah, try to pin him.
I'll take the big man down.
If you could pin him in 1 minute or less, I'll give you $25.
$25.
You got to pin his shoulders down for the count of three.
Okay, and it has to be counted. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to try, but probably not do that.
Nate, how much would you like to at least see that?
I would pay money to see that.
$25.
Well, I'm trying to pay $25. Okay. Now, Todd Lebo, here's what I say, okay? And I want to play a clip for you because before we get into the actual details of the game, I just want to talk about what we're watching here. And I don't know, Marco, if you heard, there's Andy Reid talked about this last night. I saw a clip where he said that players start to get old and
they know how long it's going to last. Yeah.
We know how long it's going to last. So I'm just going to sit back and enjoy every moment, every play. Marco, I don't know what clip that's in, but if you could find that at some point, I alluded to that a little bit earlier. But I was so I was so overcome by emotion last night.
Why? Why are you really laughing at him?
He's not laughing at him.
I was overcome. I was sat there and I'm watching this. Phil's out of town. Phil's in Salina, so you know he
as you do.
Yeah. Speaking of things that happen so fast, how he saw he's all grown up
this
now.
This guy's off in Salina.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but we are his, even though he's with his girlfriend, he does find time to we're texting feverishly back and forth at 11:30 about our fantasy football lineups.
That's good.
And whether or not we should pick up Justin Watson at the last minute. And Susan's like, "What are you doing?" I said,
"Don't worry about it.
Too long to explain. I've ruined your son. Just don't worry about this." And so I'm watching with Susan and Selena, and just watching how they're reacting. We're jumping up and down. They're jumping up and down, and Susan even had the wherewithal to say, "Don't hurt yourself if they win."
Exactly.
She knows me.
Yes.
I threw a little bit of a right cross, and it did hurt, and I just an air punch. I quickly sat back down, but even like you know, just the confidence. You know, after they go down, and Selena says, "I'm really mad." She goes, "Oh, they'll win. Patrick Mahomes, you know, the innocence of a child. Oh, they'll drive down the field. They're going to win. They're still going to win, right? They're still going to win.
Of course they will."
She's like, "Of course they will." And I'm like, "Oh, I mean, they had a chance against the Bills, and they did, blah, 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 you know. But of course they're going to win. Because like Nate said, we've seen the end of this movie against the Chargers before. But you've seen so many things in your life as a sports fan in Kansas City and covering the Chiefs as well. And so I'm just, you know, I'm watching all this unfold, and then we see what they do, and I just tweeted something to the effect of, "Hey, look, we're so blessed to be watching Mahomes and Kelce at the peak of their powers." I don't know what else to say. There's no words to describe it. It's unbelievable. And we're watching, in my opinion, the greatest coach in Chiefs history, the greatest quarterback in Chiefs history, the greatest tight end in Chiefs history, and soon to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And if he's not already the greatest tight end of all time, I don't care. That's my opinion. Argue whatever. Argue on your own time. And this greatness that we watch, and I did, when after I tweeted that out, somebody tweeted at me and said, "Well, if they don't win the championship, it doesn't mean anything." And I'm like, man, that's a negative way to go through life. Enjoy, like kind of what Andy Reid said, enjoy all these games. Enjoy all these moments. Even if that wasn't nothing last night. That was Sunday Night Football where Kansas City is on full display and the Chiefs went out there when everyone in the nation is watching and put on an absolute show.
Yeah.
That was our squad. This is something that we cannot and should not take for granted, Ty Lebo. We've seen good football. We've seen bad football. We have never and will never again see anything like we're watching right now.
Well, we're in the midst here in Kansas City of watching greatness, for sure. And we're in the midst of watching dominance, because that's 14 in a row now, road games in the AFC. They're barreling towards their seventh straight AFC West championship, okay? After never in their whole history winning two in a row. And now they've just said, let's just do seven, okay? So that's an amazing thing to watch. And it's a little bit, I've said this several times the last few years. You know, Kansas won 14 or 15 Big 12 titles in a row. And it may have been, you know, boring for the rest of the league that they're going to win it. But you still go enjoy watching the Jayhawks win a game on the road on Big Monday or going to the field house and enjoying it. And you have to enjoy the ride. And the Chiefs, it's maybe a foregone conclusion to most of us that they're going to win the division every year. But you have to enjoy the process of doing it. And there's not a whole lot more enjoyable if you like watching greatness on the offensive side than watching those two players in particular play together. It's absolutely incredible. And the amazing part was last night, they went into this thing, and I get why, I understand why Tony Dungy gave it, you know, a chance to pick the Chargers before the game, because they were getting Mike Williams and Keenan Allen back. And I didn't like what I saw from Mike Williams on his one catch, and I'm glad he didn't play anymore, okay? That was good that he was gone from the game. And Juju Smith-Schuster was gone. Mecole Hardman was gone. During the game, the guy everyone thought was going to, who has gotten better every week for the two short time he's been here, this Kadarius Toney, he's gone during the game. Juan Thornhill's gone during the game. I mean, these bad things were happening during the game, where if you don't have a Super Bowl caliber roster, you can't make up for the fact that you're losing players during a game. And this team can do that. And when it comes down to nut cutting time, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce just don't
what?
Care.
Yeah.
They don't care about you.
Hey, stop right now.
They let him hang.
Stop right now. Because people have asked you this before. Where does that term, where does that phrase come from?
I think it comes from, like, when you're going to neuter something. It's like, I think.
Like when you're going to castrate a cow?
Yeah,
a bull.
Or something.
You're the smartest guy I know. Is that?
Nate's on the Google right now. But that they and it's the same thing with Chris Jones, too, by the way. Chris,
time to exert maximum effort.
I know, but I want to know where it's...
Where the idiom comes from?
Yeah, don't you? I mean,
I said it. I should probably know. But, you know, and
the association of the word nuts with testicles may limit the use of this idiom in formal settings, whatever the source of the term. Yeah.
This is not this setting. And every time someone says that, I just kind of, it's like painful. Like,
but you know what it is.
Right. Like, oh, no.
It's important time.
That.
This yourdictionary.com says it's more about gathering nuts before they're taken by other animals.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Either way, doesn't matter what it means. It means when it's time to do something, they almost always get it done. And that's what I also love about Chris Jones. You know, Chris Jones didn't really flash in the first half of that game as much, maybe, but the first play of the Chargers' drive after the Chiefs had already stepped on their neck. Justin Herbert was going to try to sneak off and get about 15 yards up the middle on a little QB draw. And Chris Jones said, that's not happening. And that got them worried and scared a little bit that they didn't get those free yards. The next play, you know, game over. They came up and did all the right things at the right times to get that game done. And that's what we generally have come to expect, certainly against the Chargers. And that's what was – you mentioned that Bills game, Stephen. Boy, who didn't think the Chiefs were going to drive down the field in the Bills game and at least have it be dramatic at the end? And to have that thing end in like a play was very deflating. And yes. And this group, Kelce is, yes, I think he's probably the greatest tight end of all time. He's faster than Gronk. He's not as physical and big as Gronk. But, you know, Gronk's back went out on him. You know what back things are like. It's not great. Can you imagine, you know, the stuff he went through to get back out and play? Kelce is physically gifted. He works very hard. I mean, and he's gotten to be a much harder worker, and we've seen his maturation over the years. I mean, he did not look like he was going to be the greatest player of all time when he was like his third year, because he was like getting penalties on the field and doing things and all that. All this guy has done is get more mature, smarter, and better, and he does get beat up. That Bills game, they were beating him up all over the place. They were trying to get their hands on him. The Tennessee game was physically an amazing game, what they were doing with the receivers. And this one last night, early on, you know, I thought he got interfered with on the first drive of the game on the second down play.
I did too.
And then he gets it, you know, because I think he understands, he knows these referees and officials enough to, it's not going to help to sit there and whine on every play. And then
he's going to get some calls too.
He got
it's
the one he needed on that third down play on the final drive for them. They needed one, and he got that one. And that was a nice one. And then the move he put on Derwin James on the touchdown, you don't see Derwin James not get his hands on someone very often. But he made such a jab step and move that he couldn't even get his hands on him. And then it was just over. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was I think Sky Moore did that to Derwin James too, if I remember.
Sky Moore was really good last night.
Right. Okay, so and just one point before I play this, we're going to play Reed 7 here in a minute, Marco. Like you said, it's a foregone conclusion. That's what makes this year so sweet, because it wasn't to everybody else, because everyone else couldn't wait to pick against the Chiefs. And I enjoyed last night people retweeting all the before the season, the Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs, the Chiefs are the fourth best team in the AFC West, the Chiefs, their run is over. All these people look like morons right now, because the Chiefs have put this division away before Thanksgiving. Before the turkey is in the oven, the AFC West is done. The AFC West is done before your turkey's done on Thanksgiving. You understand me? And we know we pulled it out of the oven last night, and it tastes delicious, and it's moist. All apologies to Kelly McKinney. This turkey, this AFC West is moist, and it's delicious, and I've tasted it, and it's done. This is done, Kansas City, okay? I'm sorry. I'm getting emotional again. Let me play. This is what got me all fired up last night. This is Andy Reid when he was asked about that connection between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, no, listen, we're a part of it, and that's the fun part. You'd like it to last forever. But these guys grow old, and you know, it's not. So what I do is I try to enjoy every minute of it, every play, and their chemistry is ridiculous. You know, coming into this game that they had a plan for Kels, and you know, we were able to, or he was able to work, he and Pat were able to work through it and made some nice things happen.
That just gets me in my feels. I'm sorry.
Nothing lasts forever, Steven. You know that.
Not even cold
November rain. Oh.
Not even.
I played that song for my kids last week, whenever it rained last time during November. You guys understand this is one of the great songs. I even made them sit down and watch the video. You know, like, what's a music video?
Here's a long music video.
Favorite song, because I was born in cold November rain. Thank you very much. And then now I live in the fire.
Well, what is special about this team, obviously, is they're able to make plays on offense and defense. This is a different feel than some of the teams we've seen over the past several years with the Chiefs. Because, and they mentioned it, my wife kept saying last night, well, during the first half when she was awake, why are they even talking about Tyreek Hill? He's not on this team anymore. I said, well, he's a big deal, right? But Patrick Mahomes is having an MVP season without Tyreek Hill. And if Travis Kelce were gone too, it would probably be a whole lot harder to do that. But the people they have out there trying to fill the void for him are not Tyreek Hill, and he's making it happen. It's pretty incredible. And I think they've found their way, or they're finding their way in the run game too, with – you know, it's nice to see what they're getting out of Pacheco.
They finally committed to it in the second half.
They did.
They didn't run it enough in the first half, and to their credit, they realized it, and they opened up the second half with four straight runs with Pacheco.
They're figuring what they have out, and I think that's going to be really dangerous for them down the stretch against everyone else, because it seems like we're over halfway through the year. They're adjusting to the fact that they don't have Tyreek Hill, and they are understanding what they have. And Isaiah Pacheco, and that's going to be a dangerous thing for everyone.
And look, all I did was tweet it, and I wasn't going to get into it because you will not see me or hear me campaign to take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. So I tried to work my way around that. All I did at halftime was tweet, Pacheco is averaging 9.2 yards per carry tonight. And that's it. And I just I was alerting people in case that get back to L.A. so someone can inform someone. And what did they do? You're right. Especially in that first drive, they came out and established a run. And that was important because that pass rush early on was getting to Mahomes. They had knocked him down three times early. And you needed to establish and even show you're willing to run the football. And, you know, even late in the game, when they had that drive that it looked like was going to seal the game before McKinnon fumbled, they were running the ball very effectively. What have I said before? I don't need them to run the football with, you know, I don't need a guy to run 25 times a game. What I need is, if it's 4 or 5 minutes left in the game,
let's go win the game,
and the Chiefs have a lead, I want to see them be able to run the football effectively to take some pressure off Mahomes so they could put a game away. They were on their way to doing that before McKinnon fumbled. And I think Pacheco, and especially now, I don't know if you heard the comments, and we'll play those here in a minute. Andy Reid did not sound optimistic about the outlook for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He said it's a high ankle sprain, and he's going to be out for a while. So, ladies and gentlemen, this might be the Rojo's hour of – you know, he's been waiting for.
Here's your game uniform, son. You can wear this today.
Come on in. But Pacheco is going to be even more important. But no, that was significant last night. And he looked like a dude that, again, runs angry, that's out to try to prove people that he shouldn't have been a seventh-round pick. And like I told you earlier, Nate and Lebo, if you listened to the show earlier, that was a story of redemption last night for Isaiah Pacheco, who made that mind-numbing mistake on special teams. Mm-hmm. He comes back and ran the hell out of the football. Nick Bolton had a couple of bad penalties, including what happened when he pushed, you know, Herbert out of bounds. and then he came back and forced a fumble and had the interception. And Sky Moore, who has looked lost all season long when they needed him most, came up with some big catches last night. So several players redeemed themselves last night, and one of them was Pacheco, and I do think it was important.
Well, part of it is the opportunity, too, right? There's only one football. Andy has said that before. And Patrick told us at the beginning of the year, sorry, fantasy football owners, it's not going to be someone out. Now, Travis Kelce is always going to be there. But whoever the wide receiver is, it's just how it's going to go. And it looked like Juju was kind of taking that role on. And when he got hurt, it's like, ooh, all right, good thing they traded for Kadarius Toney. And then all of a sudden, he's not there. And so Sky Moore, we've basically forgotten about on offense because he hasn't really been a part of it. He was ready to take a bigger role last night and did it. And did he have a target that wasn't a catch? I don't think so. I mean, they threw him the ball. He caught it. And the last one was a really tough catch. It was down low. You know, and he's tough. He takes some shots. I think we saw what they saw when they were scouting him for the draft in college. I'm excited about the future for him here because I don't think they need to rush Juju Smith-Schuster back. I don't know if he'll be ready to go this week anyway. I don't know what's going through the process on that thing, but there's no reason to rush him back at this point if you've got some other guys. And I don't. Who knows what's going to. We're going to talk to Andy today at noon. He probably won't have any real injury information for us. But when you start hearing hamstring with a finely tuned sprinter type athlete, that always gets me going. Well, these guys don't want to play until they're, like, right. You know what I mean?
Because you see it a million times. The guy injures a hamstring, sits out a month, comes back, and 2 minutes into his return, he injures it again.
You got to be careful with it.
So it's really hard. But I think we have to give some credit to Veach, too, because the names that we're talking about here, you are talking about a seventh-round pick. Now, I know, like, he also drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. No, you know, nobody bats 1,000 or whatever, but the fact that he found—I mean, you watch if you watch Pacheco versus Helaire, you go, "Hey, which one's a first-round pick?"
Yeah,
isn't that crazy? Like this guy's in the seventh round, you see it now. What they saw early on in training camp—the explosiveness—he has a bounce to him that none of the other running backs have, and they're like, you know, McKinnon and Edwards-Helaire are decent players. It's not like they suck.
I thought Clyde actually in his couple of carries looked better last night.
Well, he looked like there was a little fire lit under him, which is good.
Yeah,
but. And it's not that crazy because then the guy that's been one of the best running backs in football on the other team last night, Austin Eckler, was undrafted.
Right. That's true. But you know, Josh Williams is out there, fourth round pick out of Fayetteville State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they just, like, they have put together, and there were rookies all over the place.
Everywhere.
Big night for the rookie class.
Yeah, Watson, Jalen Watson had to play. He was forced into some more action. Josh Williams is playing. Trip McDuffie is obviously going to play. He's a first-round draft pick. And Pacheco. They haven't turned the roster over, but they've kind of turned the roster over in a lot of ways. It always helps if you've got the quarterback. You don't
Who's
have to worry about that part
Who's left
from
the Super Bowl championship team?
Well, there's a couple of it's Kelce, Mahomes, Chris Jones,
Hardman.
Frank Clark. You know, Hardman's still on the team. Wasn't
Butker.
Playing last night. Butker, you know, and it, like James Winchester, the long snapper. But there's like I think Wiley was on that team as partially. And you know, honestly, like Marcus Kemp was on the team, and he was back now. And like Jody Fortson was on the practice squad. But it's there are a lot more names than you think. But they weren't contributors as much on the team as you when you think about like Bashaud Breeland and you know Juan Thornhill didn't play in the Super Bowl, right? He was hurt. He was on the team. But yeah, it's like not Daniel Sorensen and Tyrann Mathieu and Anthony Hitchens. They have really done a nice job of turning this thing over. But it's like I said, man, it helps if you got the quarterback in position.
Yeah.
And they have the quarterback position. They've got him on a contract that was a crazy number when it got signed. But it looks so cheap when you look up and you were watching, I'm sure before, Steven, you were watching the Denver Broncos.
Stop.
And how much money that cost.
Dude. And it's the Raiders, and that's you know, the bad thing about watching those two teams play, someone's got to win.
They almost tied that one.
Let me tell you something. The way the Broncos lost that game, because they thought they had it won at the end of regulation, and they're the vaunted defense.
Yep.
Because all they've been doing is, we have a championship level defense with our offense, blah, blah, blah. Their championship level defense laid down like dogs at the end of the game and then at the in the overtime. And that just was so satisfying.
And they have how much money guaranteed on Russell Wilson?
And what they become.
I mean, it's an obscene amount of money. They can't
How much money did the AFC West spend to try to beat the Chiefs this offseason?
$1 billion?
Probably. I mean, okay. Davante Adams,
and the division's over by Thanksgiving. Let me play this clip before we get away from it too far. This is Andy Reid. He was asked about the value the Chiefs got drafting Pacheco in the 7th round.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, you saw tonight Brett Veach's how good he is at doing his job. And Pacheco's one of those guys. He and his crew just, they study it. They see what fits into what we do. And then they're willing to, pull the trigger at the right time. So, and evaluate kind of where they think guys are going to fall, which is it's an art. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. Oh, you can overdraft guys, you can underdraft, but at the same time, you're talking about guys that you want to come in and play at least within a year or two. And, you know.
Since you've had him, what are some of the things that have impressed you? Because his playing time has obviously increased as the season's gone on.
Yeah, sure. So I would tell you that his growth in the pass protection part of it, even though he had a tough one today with three blitzed, but he, his pass protection, we were confident in that. His patience, I thought was good. We've been working on that, and I thought he did a nice job with that. So not necessarily speed to the hole, but speed through the hole. And you could see him let the offensive lineman get it set up and work to the linebacker level guys and then go and hit it, as opposed to being indecisive. So,
Lebo, what about those comments?
He's right. I mean, they have done a really nice job so far. I mean, it looks great this year. They've done a pretty good job, generally speaking, on the later round picks. And I always like the term overdraft, underdraft, whatever. I think you draft a player, and you want to get him, I guess, at the right spot. But like, if they had it to go back again, I've heard Brett Veach say this. Well, Legarius needs probably like a first round draft pick, right? You know, and Isaiah Pacheco, he's only played a few games, okay, but he looks like someone who should have been picked on the 3rd round or something. Because as we all think, you probably shouldn't pick a running back in the 1st round. But you know, he should probably have been picked higher. What you got to just get him, and they had a lot of picks last year. And you know how they got a lot of picks?
Traded away Tyreek Hill
because they didn't need to have a wide receiver who was going to make that kind of money that he's making, that A.J. Brown got signed, that Davante Adams got signed, that all these guys are getting this money. That I personally feel that there are tons of wide receivers out there who can get the job done. They might not be what Tyreek Hill is as one guy, but it's still not the most important guy. The most important guy is the guy throwing him the ball. And that's what you have to have. And he can make those other guys better. Now, it's pretty great if you got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce on your team. That's awesome. But I would rather have, you know, Travis Kelce at this point with Patrick Mahomes because of the way his contract was done and all of these other players who are cheaper. Because that's the part of the game that most fans don't care as much about because it's not their money. But the Chiefs have to account for the money in the salary cap.
That's the only way to stay good for a long stretch of time.
Yes.
When you got the great quarterback is you got to hit on the draft because those guys are cheap. And then they build up their value and they become expensive and you got to let them go.
You got to choose. The timing is the best thing on that.
And choose which ones you're going to keep, but you can only keep a couple of them. There's a play I wanted to mention, Stephen, in the game, a back-to-back.
By the way, Denise wants to know why you won't stop talking about Tyreek Hill.
I'm telling you, man.
So,
A play.
There was a phantom holding call on Creed Humphrey.
Oh, it was an awful call
in the first half of the game. I mean, just an absolute. Basically,
He blocked.
The defensive lineman put his hands up in the air, and the ref saw him put his hands up and said, "Oh, he must have been holding." I mean, it was just the biggest joke of a call. But anyways, and this is why losers blame, complain about officials. Winners like Patrick Mahomes take the 3rd and 17 and right after that and hit that pass. That the next play, he drops a dime on Jody Fortson. Yeah. I mean, just like an absolute dime, and Fortson catches it too, by the way. So he deserves credit for that. But it's like. Mahomes goes, I saw somebody said this, like, I'd like to see what Josh Allen could do if he was able to throw the ball to Fortson and Watson. You know, I give him those weapons and then see what, I mean, like, it doesn't matter with Mahomes almost.
No.
He just, you get better when you play with him.
Now, it helps to have Travis Kelce on the team.
Yes. Because he's elite.
Not to say you can just have anyone go out there, but they faced a 1st and 21 after there was a chop blocky, the crackback block they called on Tony, which I thought was pretty lame too. He wasn't running right back in the line of scrimmage. And then they had the one after the hold, and it doesn't matter to them. You know, it used to be like 1st and 20, death. All right, let's run a draw. And then a 8-yard pass, and then an incompletion. You know, that's what half the league plays like. That's not how it works with the Chiefs.
On the drive to take the lead late before the Chargers took the lead back, 3rd and 17.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing.
Oh,
then,
that,
of course,
that
the Chargers,
was a bullet.
That was to Watson, right?
Yes. Oh.
And the Chargers hit a 3rd and 18 like it was nothing.
They did. That was a great pass, too. I mean, listen, Justin Herbert
furious.
Has all kinds of talent.
He really does.
Well, to have these dramatics, to have these shootouts, to have these – unbelievably entertaining finishes, you have to have a worthy competitor. You have to have a guy that's landing bombs, you know, in the 11th round. And that's what the Chargers were doing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for them, they got knocked out.
It's just not quite enough.
So
it's just not quite enough.
And it really never is.
And as a guy holding a ticket for the Chiefs over and the Chargers under, that was a big one last night. I like that.
Look at this guy. Mm-hmm. Look at this guy. He has come prepared today. It's Todd Lebo back after this on WHP.
I think what's special about him is he just competes. I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to keep fighting until the very end. And that's what when you see that, I think it not only is impressive for him, but it gets other guys going. It shows that, I mean, he's one of the best, not the best tight end of all time, and he's coming to work every single day to get better. And so that shows you whenever you step into the facility, you're like, man, I got to get to work. If this guy's doing it, I have to be able to at least match that. And so that leadership that he brings, as well as the play he brings in the field, is special, and it takes a lot off my shoulders. Only you
can save it now. Marco, let's play one more from Mahomes. Play number 10, because Mahomes was then asked what goes into developing a chemistry with number 87, Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a lot of reps. First off, we've played a lot of football together now. I joke around, I'm getting old in this locker room now already. So we've played a lot of football together, done a lot of reps, but he's just a competitor. I'll say it. I think that's the best talent that Travis has. No, not the size, the speed, the route running, is that he will compete to the very end, and he's going to go down fighting. And so I respect that. I think that I'm the same way, as I'm going to do whatever I can to win no matter what the score is. And we have a lot of guys like that on this team, and I think that's what makes great teams, is guys that won't give up even when it doesn't look great.
And hell with it. Let's play number 11 also. Here's Patrick Mahomes when he was asked if he's going to go out to dinner with Fonzie.
Patrick, I know you don't have time tonight, but did you make plans to take Henry Winkler up on his dinner offer?
Oh, I already told him I was. So I didn't have time this weekend, but hopefully we can win a lot of games and try to win the Super Bowl, and then I'll be back in L.A. at some point and take him up on that.
Get Fonzie to Kansas City. He's been here at Comic-Con. You have a picture with him, don't you, Steven?
Sure I do. I sent it. Show it to him.
Yeah, he's got – it's
Travis Kelce.
Pretty impressive.
One of the things that I love about this team – look how little that kid is with him.
I know.
Oh, my
both
gosh,
of them.
So long ago. So
– Do you think that he'll take – do you think Fonzie will take Patrick Mahomes or Arnold's?
He should. Turn the jukebox on. Go punch someone's phone and have the cloud start playing music. That's how it works. So – this team, and this is what I've talked about for a couple of years, you know, we weren't in the locker room for 2 years with COVID and the pandemic and all that stuff. 'Cause you couldn't really kind of feel, the vibe of the locker room, like on Wednesdays and Thursdays, or even after the games. Man, I'm telling you, this team feels a lot like I said a bunch of times during 2019, how they were just kind of together and a group who like really got along. And I think we're seeing that again with this team. And that's leadership and culture that comes from Andy Reid and the coaches. It comes from your leaders like Patrick Mahomes. You know, I was talking to Justin Reid in the locker room this past week, and like every Thursday night, the D-backs all get together. They watch Thursday Night Football. You know, they do these things, and they kind of get along. The offensive line is a group who gets along, and that is so powerful. But it's extra powerful when you're really good too. You know what I mean? Because you could have a team that really gets along and it's not very good. Doesn't matter. They've got an unbeatable combination of fantastic talent at the quarterback position and the key skill position things that you need. You know, pass catchers, game-wrecking situations with people like Chris Jones, you know, Nick Bolton, young, you know, linebacker going after making plays, and these young, you know, defensive backs who don't know what they don't know. I mean, they're really talented and good and ready to learn. It's a really, really good group of guys who get along. And even I told the story last week when Isaiah Pacheco fumbled the ball in the first half of that game. I looked down on the sideline with my binoculars, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the guy who's got his, you know, face to face with him saying, "We're going to keep giving you the ball. You're going to be okay. Don't worry about this." You got a guy who basically had his job taken by this other guy telling him, "We need you to be right in the head." I mean, that's an incredible amount of camaraderie that you just I don't think exists everywhere. And that's
why I
never wanted, you know, Antonio Brown anywhere near this stadium. I don't want Odell Beckham Jr. anywhere near the Chiefs. I just don't want that for them. I think they got the right guys on the team, and I think that's as powerful, not as powerful, but it's pretty close to being as powerful to take you over that last little bit, if you need to win a game when it counts.
Creating that type of culture is one of the biggest challenges that coaches have in sports. You know, and Bill Self's been incredible at it at Kansas. He always uses the phrase, "Hey, if we win, the pie's big enough for everybody."
Mm-hmm.
You know, but convincing guys, especially guys that are told by everybody else around them, you know, "You're the best. You know, you're not getting as much.
You should be getting carries.
You should be getting more carries. You should be getting more playing time. You should be getting more money." You know, and keeping that culture when you win and when everybody's getting so many rose petals thrown at their feet and everything is a very difficult thing. And Andy Reid's done an incredible job. They've done an incredible job. And I think that's actually another reason that it was right to trade Tyreek Hill. You know, he was getting to the point where he felt unappreciated.
Now, I'll say this about him. I always thought he was a great team player.
Yes.
Always did.
But
who knew where it was going to be if there was a contract issue and all this other stuff?
He flat out said it, you know, in his podcast and everything that he feels like he was underpaid and he wasn't getting the ball enough. And when guys get to that point, it's time to say, "Okay, man, go do your thing." He's a great player. And he's getting paid, and he's getting his catches. He's getting what he wants, and the Chiefs are getting what they want.
Todd Lebo, who has the single-season record for most passing yards in an NFL season?
Is that Peyton?
It is.
In 13?
Do you remember how many?
5,000 and something.
477. 5,477.
All right.
Now, would you tell me what Patrick Mahomes is on pace for?
Probably more than that. He's got 17 games to play, too. 5,600?
5,551.
Yeah, now that won't really count because he's...
I don't care. It's without Tyreek Hill. The point is he's on pace for 5,500 yards, okay?
Exactly.
He's the MVP. He's on pace for 48 touchdowns and 5,500 yards and 66% completion percentage and only 12 interceptions. MVP?
Yes.
There's no other choice.
Well,
there's no other choice. And if you pick someone else, you're lying to yourself, you're lying to your family, and you're lying to baby Jesus. And I will not accept that.
We need to watch and see how, because there's a lot of steam on Jalen Hurts in Philly. And he, you know, they were down yesterday, and he came back and he made some plays. But I agree with you. Now, I'll also say this. I'm going to remind people of this again. Can you tell me the last time someone won the NFL MVP and won the Super Bowl in the same year?
I don't care. Because
I'm asking
Mahomes,
you a question.
When Mahomes does it, it'll make it even better.
Well, he did it in 2018, and they didn't go to the and win the Super Bowl. So he's,
don't put any limitations on Patrick Mahomes.
I want you to tell me what year it was. The last time someone won the NFL MVP and won the Super Bowl that season in the same year.
I have no idea.
Nate Bucchetti, can you tell me? It was the 1999 Rams and Kurt Warner. It's incredible how long it's been. And we've seen some MVPs here. And we've seen some guys win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's won a whole bag of Super Bowls, and
it's
he's won some
again.
MVPs.
Did Tom Brady win the Super Bowl the year of the helmet catch when they lost to the Giants?
He probably won the MVP but didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, it's I'm sure some guys have come close.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Oh, Peyton Manning's won the MVP, and he's won multiple Super Bowls and multiple MVPs, but never the same time. It's Kurt Warner's the last one. So I'm just saying, maybe you don't want the MVP. I'd rather have a Lombardi.
Maybe Patrick Mahomes is just built different.
Well, he was built different. He won the MVP, and then they lost. They didn't even make the Super Bowl in 2018.
Well, look, here's part of the thing I think we should know by now. It's really hard to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Really hard, even when you're a great team. Because
the Chiefs have only gone twice, and they've hosted four AFC championship
games.
They only won one of them. It's hard.
They only, quote-unquote, have won one during this amazing stretch with the best quarterback and the best coach and all that.
By the way, the stretch ain't over.
No, it's not over.
It's
and I think they're going to win more. Yeah,
you guys are shoveling dirt on this thing like it's over.
No. It's this team should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl now.
Yes.
Slightly. Over some other teams, but they've got everything they need, especially if they get their wide receivers back healthy and get some guys back healthy. But they've got the coach, they got the quarterback, they've got some star players on both sides of the ball.
Important positions.
And this defense is legit. This defense isn't
because of the bold moves of the past few offseason rebuilding of the roster. The window is even wider. It's bigger. Okay. All right, this ain't gonna end anytime soon. So quit trying to wish it away, Todd.
I would love nothing more than Patrick Mahomes to win the MVP and the Super Bowl in the same year. I'm just telling you, this is not.
It doesn't
like
mean you're gonna win the Super Bowl.
This isn't a 5 year thing that's going on.
I want both.
This is 20 plus. Tell me where you were in 1999, Stephen.
During that game?
No. What you were doing as a human being? You were running around setting up the nighttime shows here.
Right.
Yeah.
I hosted a watch party for that Super Bowl. For Sports Radio 810 at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Is that the location even exists anymore?
I was setting up my I would
setting your own gear.
Drive
up,
the cruiser. The
Vector.
Drive the
The
RAV4.
Yes.
Set up my own equipment. I was my own promotions guy. I was my own. Yes.
And you had one kid.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm saying it's
but
been
I tell
a
you
long
what,
time.
I tell you what, I did have. I had this hot redhead on my arm.
Oh yeah, you did.
John, like I still do now.
Boom.
Look at her right now. She walked in here. She said, "Let me tell you something." She went to sleep thinking about Travis Kelce. She woke up thinking about number 87. And guess what? I'm right with her.
Right there with
we
her.
Both
my
did.
Point is,
we
I
both
think,
were thinking about
I
him.
Think someone is going to do that double. But it's just amazing to me that it's been that long with the amount of, absolute stud quarterbacks who have
my
won.
My wife just punched me. I'm injured. That's not.
Can
that's
I tell you
nice.
Where I was?
Did in 1999,
like
Moberly?
I was watching soccer.
I was at a crap. I'm watching soccer right now, by the way. England's up 3-0. I was.
I say nil.
3-0. Sorry. They are up 3-0. But I was in a crap hole bar in Wichita, Kansas with the girl that broke my heart.
Oh, boy. And now you're better off.
And that was a terrible experience because she was not interested in the game, and her friend's boyfriend who was there was not interested in the game, and I was sitting there watching it, wishing that anybody around me gave a crap about the Super Bowl.
I was at that Super Bowl.
Yes,
that's
you
how
were.
Long ago that
Son
was.
Of a gun.
So that,
I
put that, it, that
you
was
two actually did a good concert at halftime for
that. Wasn't that one. That was later.
That
Leaves.
Wasn't
I want to play something
that's
for
a Phil
you.
Phil Collins
sang
Lion
King
lost. Songs. Yeah, it was when
that
they
was
lost.
The one they lost. Yeah. That's the one
Why
I'm
did you get
of.
Mad at me when I made my picks on our on Twitter?
I never get mad
media.
At you.
You said that you wished I had something. I was still home from back surgery or whatever.
Nah,
hurt my feelings.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Play it, Marco. I'm going to go big here. Underdog, Detroit Lions, money line upset over the New York Giants because they're frauds. How do you like that, Lebo?
All right, I think I liked it better when Steven was home sick with his bad back. He's got to stay out of my snacks.
That's true.
I don't like that at all. Let's check in with the zone.
Listen, how mean-spirited is that, Nate?
I'm keeping the snacks on the floor in my office so he can't bend down and pick them up.
I can't, but how mean is that, though?
You need one of those. My grandpa had fallen off the roof of his house when He tried to
clean the gutters.
Tried to roof his house after he had some drinks.
Okay,
and
safe.
He paid the price. He fell off. And
did
he,
you say he tried to roofie himself?
Well, kind of. And he ended up with he had a couple of steel plates in his hips. He couldn't really bend over very well, so he carried around this thing. It was like a grabber. A grabber. Yeah, he could grab things. You need a grabber.
Grab
Steven.
My dry roasted peanuts. Yes.
I have to ask.
You could grab those nuts if you had one of those.
He puts them on the floor because I can't bend over.
Can't
yet.
Get to his nuts.
Doctor's orders. And so I have to ask him, I said, Todd, may I have some of your nuts?
He said, okay. And then last week he tried to get in there. I had
it really
one
is nut cutting time in
it
your
was
place.
Down to the bottom. Yeah. You know, it was just all the dry roast
the salt
and sand and a few nuts in there. And he wanted to open the new one. I said, no. You finished the one full of dust first.
And did I?
Then you can open the new one.
Did I?
You did. He got all that nut dust in his mouth.
That's right. I had all of, that's when I made those picks. Will you please comment while I was eating that nut dust? Will you comment on me picking the Lions money line outright to beat the Giants?
That was a great pick. And I think Sterling Holmes went back to the barrel on the Vikings. I don't think that's going to work. They lost by 100.
That one was painful. Todd, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again very soon.
All right. Don't forget, hosting the program today.
Oh, we'd love to hear it. 2-6 here, Todd Lebo.
I'm going to wrestle Curtis
right here
5:00
on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. This is not going to be a feel-good segment, because I am going to take Gary to task. I'm going to scold him. You go ahead and bring that music down. We don't even need music right now. I was very fed up with all the people that were giving up on the Chiefs by halftime, and I was very angry with Gary Lezak at some of these ridiculous tweets. Gary, with no faith in the defense, Gary. And you attack Nick Bolton, Gary. That was a dumb penalty that may have cost the Chiefs the game. I agree it was a dumb penalty, but you said it may have cost them the game. And then you tweeted, that penalty was likely the difference between 31-14 after the Chargers' opening drive in the second half and the Chiefs leading at halftime. What a horrible hit out of bounds. This is going to be tough, an incredible comeback from Mahomes if there's any hope. So you thought the Chargers are going to drive down, score a touchdown before a halftime, and then their opening half. Gary, they scored 3 points in those two drives. Gary, apologize to the Chiefs defense.
I also said in the tweet, it's going to take a miracle by Magic Mahomes. Okay, so I was right. It took a miracle.
Apologize to the Chiefs defense, and I have more faith in them.
Well, it was great. I apologize, but I don't really apologize. I was just telling what reality was happening there. If the Chargers were any good, it would have been 34-17, but they weren't.
If the Chargers were any good,
yeah, they weren't good. They weren't good enough to take advantage of those mistakes by the Chiefs, and the Chiefs were great enough to overcome them. So it was fantastic. You and I'm angry about is the Chiefs trailing. Losing to Cincinnati, 21-3, the Chiefs lead Cincinnati. 21-3, the Chiefs lead Cincinnati, and they let Cincinnati go to the Super Bowl. And the Rams, who just stink, they're really one of the bottom 10 teams in the league right now. Maybe down at bottom 5. The Rams have fallen so hard, and they're coming. The Los Angeles Rams are coming to Arrowhead, GEHA Field at Arrowhead, Sunday. And we'll look at the weather forecast here in just a second. But the Rams are coming to town limping, while the Chiefs, anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday. So the Chiefs will be focused. They're going to kick the Rams, you know what. So, but let me just tell you, the Chiefs should have been the Super Bowl champions, and they let that go. 5 straight AFC championship games at home, okay? There's a lot on the line. There's going to be pressure on the Chiefs to win it all. They're going to suddenly be the favorite, as you guys were just talking about in the last segment. It was very entertaining and thought-provoking and exciting, excitement-generating what your last segment was. So let's just stay positive. The Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. They were last year. They have been. and they need to win the big games. They're going to be at home. There's no excuses. This is so exciting. The Chiefs play the Rams. Then they play the Bengals, okay? At Cincinnati. We know what happens, okay? That'll be a huge game for the Chiefs. Okay, then they play the Broncos. They had to play the Broncos twice. Okay, anybody can beat anybody, okay? Then the Chiefs play the Texans. They play the Seahawks at home. The Chiefs are probably going to be 14-3. They're going to lose to the Bengals, probably.
No, they're not.
They're not going to lose to the Bengals?
Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Oh boy. Chase will be back.
Don't ask me things right now. The Chiefs will never lose a game again. Okay, that's how I feel right now. So don't have not being ridiculous. I'm belligerent.
I know. Well, hey, listen. It's just incredible. Magic Mahomes last night was absolutely off the charts incredible. Okay? That was an amazing final drive. So simple and so easy. It's obviously not always that easy, but that was incredible. And he and Kelce were just on the same page, and it was just crazy. The last three catches by Kelce were all touchdowns. That's just nuts.
You know what else looks incredible?
What?
The forecast.
I know. So now it's really time to go to the forecast because I have 45 seconds to do the weather. I'm sorry, everybody. Here's your forecast. Sunny, beautiful, 55 today. Sunny, victory Monday today. Tomorrow, sunshine and 60 degrees. As we go into Thanksgiving, there is a little storm that one of the models, the European model, has some rain or snow here Thursday evening. The others keep it to our south and west and keep it away from us. And we want it to come through on Thursday because then it's out of here for Sunday. There's no issues for the Sunday. But either way, the Chiefs, the Rams, my two teams, my team growing up, the L.A. Rams, and my team, our team, the best team in the NFL, the Chiefs, Sunday afternoon at GEHA Field. The weather's looking pretty good, maybe close to 50. We'll update you as this week goes along. I'll be listening, guys. It's Victory Monday. Have a great day, everybody.
Was it just me, or did it sound like Gary has not slept yet after Sunday Night Football? We will take a break. Back after this on WHB.